Rogers.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
After all the success you guys have had, is there actually a genuine feeling of disrespect in that locker room?
We're going against a team that's the number one seed, you know, in the league. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are thinking they're going to win. You know, everyone can have their own opinion. We certainly have an opinion, and we got to go out there and execute our best to in order to accomplish that. So it's going to be a tough game. I mean, we're not certainly expecting to, you know, go 15 minutes into the game and, you know, think that it's over. It's going to go down to the end. They got a great team. Like I said, we feel like we have a, you know, a team that can compete well against anybody. We're going to need to play really well. So it makes for a championship game. You know, hopefully we can have our best one of the year.
That's Tom Brady today at Gillette Stadium. Agenda-free Friday, again, brought to you by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. BernardiAutoGroup.com to get all the info on the web. As promised, right back to your phone calls. Devin in Malden. Hi, Devin.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I believe that Michelle needs to have a big game in order for the Pats to win. The last time we played the Chiefs, he had his second most attempts for the whole year. He scored twice. I believe that it opened up the pass, and it can keep Mahomes off the field. And last week he had a great game and we won. So I believe that he can be a big key to the game.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with everything you said except for that part about it opens up the pass. You really need Sony Michel for Tom Brady to throw the ball? I mean, does anyone really believe that? It's such a cliche to say it sets up the pass. Not for this guy, it doesn't. Murray?
No, but I do think it's important to try to keep Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense off the field as much as he possibly can. So that's why I think the running game is going to be huge if they can get it going on Sunday.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, to me, the running game is going to be a factor in this game.
As a compliment to the passing game, no problem whatsoever. I agree with everything you said. Michelle, big day, running game, it's important this week. I get it, and I'm not fighting you on that. Just this notion that's going to set up, like Brady needs to soften up the defense.
That was the caller that said that, not me.
I know. I'm just, again, that's just, don't fall into that cliche mode. Stop listening to the offensive lineman on TV. That's not the way it works anymore.
I'm telling you, the more I look at it, the Patriots play a perfect game up here. They did. They played a perfect game. They won by 3 points. Like, they better play a perfect game in Kansas City.
Matt in Wilmington. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. So I agree with, you know, what you're thinking in terms of Kansas City overall looking on paper on as the better team, home and away, and gone through all the X's and O's. But it's the intangibles that I'd like your opinion on. I'll go through three of them really quickly. First, momentum. I think the Patriots now have strong momentum.
Two.
It came very, very late in the year.
Two.
With that win in San Diego.
Two.
Strong momentum. Huh?
Two. What's second?
So second, chip on shoulder. So they've always had to prove something.
Got it. Three. Give me three.
Three. Pressure is on Kansas City.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there because those are all self-explanatory. And I'll go through them all. The people who call up and say, I got 3 points, I rarely give you three. Two at the max. But if one sucks, you're done. So just stick with one. And don't tell me you got 3 points because automatically I'm like, no, I'm not going to make it.
One, momentum. Two, boom. Three, this.
One,
done.
One, momentum. Don't the Chiefs have momentum?
Yes.
The Chiefs have as much momentum as you. They were the one seed. They won at home last week. They're vying to go to their first Super Bowl since when? Super Bowl IV. They're at home in the AFC title game for the first time ever, playing for a trophy that's named after their owner's father. Okay, they got momentum. So I don't know if they both do. It's a wash. Two, the chip on their shoulder. Pats have it. They usually do well with that. Fair enough. But I don't know. Fine, I'll give it to you. What's that worth? How many points is that worth? And what's three? I've already forgotten three.
I don't know.
I don't remember either.
See, that's the problem with three points. I forgot to write down.
Pressure's on Kansas City.
I mean, fair enough. Who has more pressure on him?
Kansas City.
Agreed.
So I do think there is an element in this game, since the caller brought it up, that, you know, if you can get ahead, that the people in Kansas City, the stadium will go, oh, here we go again. Here are the same old Chiefs. Like, there is some of that with the Chiefs that they're going to have to overcome.
I think that's fair. And, you know, there's the whole historical pressure, the thing you're talking about, and then just Andy Reid under pressure. So, fine. Fair enough. The pressure factor, I think, favors you. Daniel on the South Shore. Hi, Dan.
All I can say is I am actually going to be afraid to turn on this show on Monday if, God forbid, Sony Michela fumbles the ball.
Oh, God.
Help us all.
Oh, my God. I can't listen because that could happen. He's due for one, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the field goal kick is due for a miss. And the other thing is, I know you guys all pick Kansas City, but anybody who picks the Patriots loses their license to complain about the Miami game, okay? If you're picking the Patriots, don't refer to the Miami game as being the reason they lost, okay? You guys pick the Chiefs, so you're off the hook. The other thing on the ball, taking the ball, Felger, right?
Yep.
If you give them the ball first, you better damn make sure you make a stop on that first drive.
I get it. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to, if they win the toss, they're going to get the ball.
Okay, here's the other side of the coin. I think Belichick was a genius last week taking the ball because not only did they get it out in front, but he put Rivers on the sideline for 7 minutes, okay? And I know they scored, but don't forget, our stupid kicker kicked the ball to the 16-yard line, and they ran it back to the 33. That's where they started from, and the defense gave up a third down, and I think they gave up a third
and
18 on that drive. So, I mean, these are the things that stick in my brain. I worry about I think the word of the day is revert. Do the Patriots revert?
Okay, fair enough.
I'm with Danny so much on Gostkowski in a situation in a game like this, of this magnitude, in that place. Oh, God, if it comes down to him, I am so terrified of that scenario.
Yeah, don't read the story by Noor Princiotti in the Globe then today.
What was that?
She pointed out how Gostkowski's numbers on the road this year weren't good. He was like, you know, he's William Tell in Foxborough, for crying out loud, splitting the apple every time he kicks the ball. You put him on the road and it drops under 80% on field goal attempts, for crying out loud, or something like that. You know, I don't have the exact number in front of me. But that's another one. The game up here, Gostkowski, 5 for 5. 5 for 5. Everything came up Patriots in that game. They played a perfect game, and they won by 3.
Ed and Woburn. Go ahead, Ed.
Real quick, I know you guys are talking a lot about how Mahomes is better than Brady. Would you guys take Kelce over Gronkowski this week with everything we're going to do?
Yep. Ed, who do you got, Gronkowski or Kelce?
I'm taking Gronkowski just because we're running the ball. That's the only reason why. Or I'm taking Kelce, but we need to run the ball. And I think Gronk is better there. But
so you're taking Gronkowski in the running game, which isn't really – okay, so fine, I'll give you that.
I mean, put Adrian Waddle out there, or Dwayne Allen, if you want to do that.
That's no, as a tight end, as a pass-catching tight end, as an offensive weapon, Kelce or Gronkowski?
Kelce. Kelsey's a better player right now. I thought about this one on the way in, actually, believe it or not.
I'm hesitating.
Yeah, one guy's a little soft, one guy's a de facto offensive lineman now. I'll take the guy that can actually, like, catch the ball and make a big play. Gronk is a pass catcher. I don't see it anymore.
If you could trade Gronk for Kelce for this game, you wouldn't do it?
I don't know.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
I think they rub Kelce out every time without really any problem, without any extra attention, just the guy on him is physical.
He's still going to catch 6 balls for 50 yards. He'll get a couple of first downs.
You don't think Gronk is good for 6 catches for 50 yards? It doesn't like there's any big plays in there.
I don't know really what Gronk is good for.
He can't really get out of his break anymore. You know, like, that's the thing. That's been the problem this whole year.
So when you do, like, if you were to say to me, would I be surprised if Gronk did that? No. No, not at all. But I have no idea is he going to be the Gronk that had one catch last week and blocks all day, or is he going to be a guy they throw to? And I have no idea. I have no idea what Gronk is.
Here's another friend of ours, Alan in Florida. Hi, Alan.
Yes. They are in the championship game, aren't they? I'm just missing something. Mike, I wanted to bring up one thing that you said yesterday, since it's agenda-free. you were saying how the great NBA, which, you know, makes me nauseous, is the number two. College football nationally is so much bigger than the NBA that it isn't even funny. And then you're telling me that the Celtics are the second most popular team in town. They don't have their own radio station. They're second banana on the radio. They're the second most popular team that plays in the Garden. That's where they're the most popular. Anyway, that's all true.
That's fine. To your football point.
Okay. My football point is, I don't care what anyone says, if you remember what I said last week. I'm nervous about this week, only because they're playing on the road. But I still think they're going to get, if they win the toss, they're going to get the ball, obviously get the ball. And if they get ahead, I'll put my money right on the Patriots.
Okay, so it's all about that, getting a lead.
I mean, look, it's a cliche, right? It is. There's a cliche there. I think, though, in some ways it's more important for the Patriots in this game than the Chiefs. If the Patriots fall behind early, I mean, who's kidding who? Brady's got the balls to get him back in the game.
Of course.
There's no two ways about that. And Belichick's got the poise to coach them back into the game. But if Kansas City falls behind big early, 14-3, like, I could see things getting squirmy on the other side. I think it's important for the Chiefs to get the lead.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Bob Sosi, we get some hot takes. Got to turn the air down in here a little bit, Murray.
Smoking Bob!
Yeah, put down the AC somewhere into the low 60s because he radiates when he gets in here.
Can't wait to hear him say Kansas City.
Sosi coming up next here on Felger and Mazz.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger here for the Save Big Sale at Mattress Firm. Kick off 2019 with better sleep, folks. This new year, Mattress Firm has the best deals on mattresses, adjustable bases, and more. Their most popular offer is back, in fact, this Friday through Monday only. In addition to saving up to $400, you can get a free adjustable base. That's up to a $699 value, completely free with your purchase of $599 or more. Plus, again, enjoy huge savings up to $400 on America's best-selling brands like Beautyrest and Serta. They're also going to give you 0% APR for 6 years. 6 years with no interest. Talk about great interest rates. You want to call 866-780-6220 for credit costs and terms. It is subject to credit approval. They also have the great 120-night low price guarantee. Means you can shop with confidence, knowing you're getting their lowest price. They will beat any price on a comparable mattress, even ones you buy from them, for up to 120 nights. That's 4 months. Means basically you're guaranteed to get the best deal in town for 4 months. So why would you not check out the Save Big Sale at Mattress Firm?
Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots, provides great food for football's best fans. Thrill your grill with Stop and Shop Grade A Whole Chicken. Chicken drumsticks, thighs, or leg quarters sold by the pound for just 99 cents. Get game ready and save at stopandshop.com.
Welterweight superstars return to the ring.
You think I'm back at it? Guess what, Jahmar? I've never been gold.
When legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao.
I got the belt. I am a champion. Let's get it on.
Meets 4-time champ Adrian the Problem Broner.
I'm going to be victorious.
Two of the biggest stars in boxing. One explosive fight.
These two courageous warriors putting it all on the line. And the crowd loving every second of it.
Pacquiao versus Broner. Saturday at 9 Eastern. Live on pay-per-view.
It's a new year, but the savings don't stop at Bernardi Toyota. Hurry in for our best prices on new Toyotas with zero down, like new RAV4s just $230 a month, or zero down. Visit BernardiToyota.com to unlock our best prices.
2018 RAV4 LE all-wheel drive with automatic 36-month, 12,000-mile-a-year lease, $19.99 down payment plus first payment, tax, tag, title registration fee, and $4.99 dock fee. Zero down with approved credit through TFS. Zero security deposit, specials on in-stock vehicles only. See dealer for details. Offers expire 1/31/2019.
The iPhone XR is here at T-Mobile, and there's a whole lot to love, like those perfect portrait mode selfies you're going to share.
Nice.
And how Memojis now turn every FaceTime with the kids into fun time. In fact, the only thing you'll love more than your iPhone XR is getting it included in the price when you get an unlimited plan. That's right. Get both unlimited and iPhone XR included for just $40 a month. Sure, you can get unlimited somewhere else. But for the same price at T-Mobile, you get unlimited and iPhone XR. Join today and get iPhone XR included with your unlimited plan for just $40 a line for 4 new lines. Call 1-800-T-MOBILE or visit a store today.
$30 for essentials plus $10 for iPhone XR with auto pay and qualifying trade-ins via 36 bill credits. Customers may notice lower speeds and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs per month. Video at 480p for well-qualified buyers plus taxes and fees. Contact us before canceling or remaining balances due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. Zero down plus $20.84 per month for 36 months. Full price $749.99, 0% APR.
When the spirit of Girl Scouts meets Dunkin' Coffee, you get a delicious cup of can-do. Thin mints, frozen chocolate, coconut caramel iced coffee, and trefoil shortbread latte are now available. Enjoy $2 medium lattes and cappuccinos from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
The Massachusetts Health Connector is great for personal health insurance, but what can it do for small businesses?
A lot more than you think. Use Health Connector for Business to find affordable, high-quality coverage. You control costs, while your employees have more options to select the best plan for their needs. You may even qualify for wellness rebates and tax credits. Find a free certified broker on the site or sign up yourself quickly and easily. Get started at mahealthconnector.org. That's mahealthconnector.org.
The playoff payoff sales event is on at IRA. Score low leases and eliminate high payments. And remember, if the IRA oval is on your car, you know you got a great deal.
8 straight years.
They will meet in the AFC Championship game. Kansas City.
The Patriots travel to Kansas City, their third consecutive trip to the big game on the line.
Michelle runs up the middle, turning forward, into the end zone.
Our coverage starts Sunday at 3:30 with Mark Bertrand and Chris Gasper. Kickoff to crown the AFC champion is at 6:40 with Bob Soucy and Scott Zola. Presented by Safety Insurance. And the only place to hear the local call of the game is right here. The Patriots, the Chiefs. This is going to be epic. Your one and only home of the Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With second down looming from midfield, Matthew Slater taking up his familiar pose in victory formation as Brady drops to the knee. Razor sharp all day long here at Gillette. The Patriots quarterback threw for 343 yards, and the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year,
yep,
as they will meet in the AFC Championship game next Sunday in Kansas City.
Here we go.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Soucy.
Here comes Bob Soucy and his hot, hot takes. Smoking Bob Soucy, scorching Bob Soucy and his hot, hot takes.
It's that time of week. Voice of the Patriots, Bob Soucy, here in our Tom Fair Tire Studios. Maybe the last time we do it, who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows? You'll hear him on the call. 6:40 kick here on 98.5 The Sports Hub on Sunday night. He'll be in Kansas City with Scott Zolak. Roberto, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. If that's not Marconi Award caliber radio and television, I don't know what is.
You got to string them all together. Wow. Maz did that 16 times this year. That's amazing. 17 now. 18. What are we up to? 18.
Oh, we're hoping for one more.
Wow.
We'll do that one on Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
That I want to see.
That would be great.
All right. So, because no one can hear what's going on in the headset, so it'll just be silence, and then Maz is here at the desk, you know, bouncing around. It'd be tremendous. So, see, key matchup in this game Saturday night. The one, the number one thing that you're looking for. What's the first thing you wrote down on your sheet of paper there, your notebook, number one issue for you?
Well, the lessons of 2016 when the Patriots went to Denver in the AFC Championship game, dealing with the crowd noise offensive line against the pass rush of the Denver Broncos. Much different kind of defense. Now, that was an all-time defense. Von Miller leading the pass rush, Patriots offensive line. So many different combinations during the course of the year. There were reports afterwards that maybe center Brian Stork was giving them a tell with a snap count, aiding the pass rush, getting off on the ball with the crowd noise affecting the Patriots. Never really able to get on a consistent page. So to me, it starts up front. And I think for the Patriots offensively, it starts with the offensive line and the difference maker there in the middle. In comparison to the past, really, it's a completely different offensive line. But David Andrews, savvy center, a lot of experience. I think it starts up there. To your point about the run not setting up the pass, there's another lesson from that game too. After the game, Mike Lombardi would later say the Patriots decided they had to develop a running game that was good enough to keep opposing defenses out of nickel coverage. And that was a point of emphasis the next offseason going forward. And I think what we saw last week was the ability to run against the light defense very consistently and manhandle them. So in this game, again, from an offensive point of view, it's to keep that pass rush at bay,
keep Houston, Jones especially, and Ford off of Brady, keep him clean enough to complete passes against that Kansas City secondary, but also be able to run if Bob Sutton adjusts and goes a bit lighter on the back end.
Okay, that's the Pats offense, Pats defense.
Well, to me, you've got all these weapons, and it starts with Kelce and Hill. You can't neutralize either one of them or shut either one of them down, but you've got to try to slow them down. So I think they put the bullseye on both of them, bracket Hill, make a lot of contact with Kelce, be physical with him coming off the line of scrimmage. It involves a lot of people. And just do what they have done, I think, on a regular basis defensively, and that's try to confuse the quarterback enough to apply pressure from angles that he's not expecting, which they did a lot of in the first game against Mahomes. He's so good in every way, but maybe also take advantage of that carefree, careless pass or two that he's going to throw that I thought Indianapolis, for example, last week, wasn't able to take advantage of. The Patriots got a couple of picks in the first game, including the one in the interception. That was a bad decision by Mahomes. The first pick by Hightower was a result of the previous point that I made about confusing the quarterback and showing him something and doing something else.
So typically when a team doesn't play well on the mm-hmm. road, Bob, which the Patriots did not this year. I mean, they went 3-5. You look at it and you say it's an absence of mental toughness. Do you think they improved in that area as the year went along?
You know, it's so funny, Tony. I was thinking about this all week long in preparation for the Chargers game, because when asked about the Chargers as an attribute, so many Patriots said, well, they're mentally tough. They've done so well on the road, and we know the Patriots have been inconsistent and inefficient. I think they've shown a high level of mental toughness just in the last few weeks, and they're seizing on this underdog theme and the disrespect card, as we know, and you know, maybe that helps to as well generate some of that edge that they've needed. But I just think it's more the result of their physical play that gives them more mental toughness, so to speak, based on what we've seen from Edelman the last 3 weeks, from Brady the last 3 weeks.
What you're talking about, movement. I'm sorry to cut you off, yeah. Attitude.
Yeah.
You know, they played with attitude last
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. And I think you're able to do that. You know, you can play with attitude, but if you're physically compromised or you're not moving well and not throwing well, then, well, attitude, how far is that going to carry you? But when you can combine your fine athletic play with attitude, that's a major edge, I think.
Okay, we talked about this before, and I'm curious about how they play defensively man zone. I think that, well, I know they're a better man team.
Yep.
And I read somewhere maybe you can they played more man than any team in the league. I thought I read that somewhere, but either way, they're a heavy man. Heavy man-to-man team, and Gilmore obviously thrives in man and whatnot. If I'm playing Kansas City, I'm playing zone, and I'm inviting the Chiefs to run. I'm inviting them to throw short, and I'm, you know, first of all, keeping Mahomes on the spot if I can, keeping him in the pocket. And then I'm getting everyone back and I'm saying, if you want the 6, 5, 6, 7 yard pass, we'll give it to you. You got to do it all the way up the field. You got to go 7 of 8 on your drive and you've got to hand the ball off. And I'd see if he'll take it, because I think he wants to break, contain, and make a big play. And so that's what I would do against him, but that doesn't play to the Patriots' strengths. So how do you play it defensively?
Yeah, I've heard varying schools of thought here, and some would suggest trying to pressure him so that you get the ball out quickly just to prevent those deep balls downfield. And he is so good at extending plays and does it better than anybody else, I think, and especially going to his left. He has this remarkable ability to make plays even close to the sideline downfield thrown across his body. They've got to vary their looks, and again, that's cliched. But they're a man team. They're better in man coverage. I think there's going to be some combination where you may have Stephon Gilmore on Sammy Watkins once again, principally, or maybe he shadows Hill at times with some help. Vice versa, you can give Jackson some help from a safety. They've got to, I think, have some combination coverages. You're not going to be able to cover Tyreek Hill down the field man-to-man. But then again, you play zone, you play soft like the Colts did, and then they're going to kill you underneath. And if you put pressure on Mahomes, he can beat you by keeping plays alive and then striking downfield, because it's so hard to cover those guys for a long period of time.
I said before, I think Andy Reid's willing to go underneath. Yeah. I've seen that a million times. Is Mahomes, is he patient enough? Did he do that against the Colts? Is that what you just said?
Uses youth against him.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you watch the crossing routes to Sammy Watkins and Kelce and Hill. I mean, you know, plays that are throws that involve throws that are 10 to 15 yards downfield, and they turned into 30, 40-yard gains. They've done a lot of that all year. I mean, he's protected the ball pretty well, all things considered, you know, with the number of passes he's thrown this year and the number of touchdowns to throw 12 interceptions, especially as a first-year starter who had only one start under his belt going into this season. It's pretty remarkable.
Okay, we did this yesterday. I'll ask you. Want your most objective opinion on this? We put up the positions, you know, who gets a check mark at offensive line, who gets a check mark at coaching, who gets a check mark defensive line, who gets a check mark secondary. We do this all the time. Check mark at quarterback. Who gets a check mark at quarterback, Robert?
And well, look, Mahomes has had the better season statistically.
Where's your check mark go? Where's the check mark go? Where's the check mark?
Most in check NFL mark. History, but check the check mark too? Goes the check mark goes to 12.
Yeah.
Always. Especially coming up.
He's going to write it in uranium.
Without question. Absolutely. Come on. You want a hot take? How can you question the quarterback of the Patriots on this postseason stage with his playoff numbers of late, especially?
So, yeah, it's true, but to say, I mean, how did you just phrase that? How could I? What? I mean,
I don't know how I phrased it. I'm trying, you know, I get a little worked up when I try to bring the hot take.
No, but what I'm saying is, just because I would give Mahomes a check mark doesn't mean I think Brady's some bum. You know what I mean?
No,
I mean, these are two exceptional guys.
I mean, absolutely.
And Mahomes is playing at a really high level, and he's at home, and so
yeah,
he gets my check mark, but that's not to say the other guy's some stiff.
No question about it. Look, maybe the streak comes to an end this week, but Brady's going into this game with 228 consecutive playoff passes without an interception.
Oh, you just did it.
Probably so, but it was going to be mentioned during the broadcast.
Bob?
Come on, Jim Nantz is going to bring it up. Tony Romo's going to talk about it. I've never bought into that, whether it's a broadcaster's free throw jinx or a no-hitter jinx. But going into this game, given the wealth of his experience, and I don't think that Mahomes has stage fright. I mean, he's shown that. They've lost games in prime time against really good football teams, and those games have come down to one or two plays. But I still think that on this stage, and as the night wanes on, and the weather deteriorates, I know it's not going to be the same. We don't know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do when that wind chill gets into the teens if his offense isn't as proficient as he's been accustomed to. I think he's going to respond well, but we don't know. But I do know that Tom Brady is always going to fight until the end. We saw that. I mentioned the Denver game. They had no business, really, the way that game was going for 3.5 quarters, to be within a 2-point conversion with 12 seconds to go to tie it up against the Broncos. And I still think in my experience calling the Patriots games, the two AFC championship losses at Denver, the team in 13 can't compare. That was a team that was a shell of the one that started the season for the Pats. The team in 15 went out there and they lost to a tremendous defense. The Ravens came in here with good defenses. I think the Chiefs have a better defense statistically at home, and they'll have the crowd noise on their side, certainly. But if you gave me a choice between the Patriots going on the road and taking on a team with a good offense and a suspect defense, or a team with a good defense and a suspect offense, I'd say I think the Patriots can match them and exceed them point for point.
Look forward to the call, Bobby. 640 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Have a safe trip.
Thanks so much.
And we'll hear you on Sunday night. Yes.
I was just going to say, Matt, I look forward to seeing you bounce around wherever you guys are on Radio Row in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll do it if we're there. Yeah.
Bob, can I get a Kansas City from you?
Jim, would you like to see a Super Bowl that involves the Patriots after they defeat Kansas City
and
the Los Angeles Rams?
There it is. All right, Bob, thanks again. Update with Murray. We're back with more calls. Get right back to your Patriots calls. And I have to give you a Bruins 30 seconds. It's not even a Bruins minute, but Cassidy said something last night that Maz heard that
tremendous
is really kind of funny. So that's just 30 seconds of your time, but right back to your calls after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Monday is going to be 25 years since Robert Kraft purchased a team. Just from your seat, you're all older now, obviously, but what has he meant to the team from your view or from working close with him?
Yeah, I mean, we have a good setup here. You know, it's been very supportive. It gives us a great opportunity to go out and compete every week. We've done that. Hope we can continue it for a long time.
So, I didn't even realize. Apparently, it's 25 years since Kraft bought the team.
Right.
And they're making this a thing. So Mike Reese, you know, asked the question.
Excuse me.
And it's not exactly like, so, you know, the whole setup thing, you know, sort of bugs me because I'm me. I just can't let it be, but I mean, really. Didn't we do it at 20 years? We can do it at 30 years? So every 5 years? All right. Okay. So Reese asks the question about the 25-year anniversary. And, well, maybe Bill felt about it as I do. Like, because he didn't exactly do cartwheels talking about the Kraft ownership, did he? I mean, I say he ripped it and he answered it. But the enthusiasm level there was no higher than as if you asked him about the weather or the injury report.
I don't think about that. Give it a chance. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Compete every week, and
we have a good thing going here.
We'll continue for a while.
So anyway, that's more sound today from Gillette. And so Brady talked, Bill talked. We'll give you that sound throughout the day. I'll just say real quick, they used to do this differently, and I miss it. And I don't know if fans notice. They probably don't, because to them it's all press conferences anyway. But they used to, the Friday of the conference title games, used to make the visiting team travel to the home team on Friday, and they would do joint press conferences. This was, you know, again, the famous one was in Pittsburgh in 01, where they're all in the same room. In fact, what the Patriots did that day, they flew Robert's jet or a jet just for the press conferences on Friday afternoon and then flew back to Boston and then traveled as a group Saturday night instead of bringing the whole team. They just flew, you know, the coach, the quarterback, and then a few players speak. But anyway, I used to like it because it was sort of ceremonial. And they would have the backdrop being the AFC title game backdrop or the NFC title game backdrop, red or blue. And they'd have the trophy there, and they'd have both teams there, and the visiting media would have to be there. And it was sort of like a to-do. It was sort of like an event. And now it's just sort of like your local day. It's just like another day down in Foxborough. It's just like another Wednesday in Foxborough with the local beat guys and the, you know, nothing wrong with Gillette, but the Gillette backdrop. And it's like, or whoever's up there, I'm sorry if I got the sponsor wrong, but right, it's like, I don't know. I miss sort of, it gave you a little bit of a pomp and circumstance with the two teams together. I thought you got a little better quotes there as well because it was more general in nature about the game and what it means and da-da-da. And I miss those days. I miss it.
I mean, honestly, I didn't even realize that. I don't remember that at all.
They used to do that. They used to bring in the visiting team on Friday, and normally the team would just come in
and stay.
Arrive on Friday and spend 2 days there and do the press conferences on Friday and dot, dot, dot. But they don't do that anymore, which is too bad. But it's a small thing. I don't think fans would even notice it. As promised, right back to your phones. And I do just want to play this Cassidy cut that Maz pulled out. It's terrific. Joey in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, listen, I am so sick of all the stats. We should have known that after last week's game. It's going to come down to the quarterback play. Just look at the last four seasons, the ending games with the do-or-die stuff. Is Brady ever out of it, or can he do it again? That's a question. Can he do it again? And, Thalga, can I criticize you?
Quickly.
Or are you going to hang up on
No,
me?
No, go.
Okay. Because since training camp started, you have wasted hundreds of hours on your media platform saying how bad Brady is and how this team is not going to win. And, hey, whatever. But the fact when he called you out, in my opinion, you folded like a wuss. And then you lie and deny it, try to take it back when he says you're going to use it as motivation. I mean, that's awful. I mean, stick by your guns. Don't change your game. Because you did. You changed your game when you said it.
Did
Don't
I?
Say you didn't.
Did I pick the Patriots this week?
I'm not saying that. You said he sucked all year long.
Did I say he sucked, Joey?
Yes.
Never once. Never once. And I will let you go because that's just dumb and childish.
Shame. Shame on you, Felger. Shame. Wasting hundreds of hours.
Oh, so I mean, that's the one thing I disagree with.
Apologize, Mike. Apologize.
Wasted. Wasted. I mean, I'll show you the ratings. I did not consider that fall a waste. It's a nice, solid.
Apologize, damn it.
But
we want an apology.
Stop. No one ever said he sucked. Not here, not anywhere. That's just for the Patriot children. for the children's table.
And yeah, I think you should stick by your game. Falco.
Dipped, not as good comparatively speaking.
He was down.
Yeah.
He was down.
I mean, all of those things were said because they were true.
He was down. But the sucked thing is for Brady to motivate himself and for the Patriots' children to go to the children's table and put their pacifiers back in their mouths. So, Joey, go shove it in your mouth.
Yes. Pasta and chicken fingers for you.
Speaking of which, Cleet Blakeman's a snake.
Guy in Boston. Go ahead, Guy.
Michael, I am so tired of this TB12 crap. I remember watching Super Bowl I, a receiver for the Packers called Max McGee.
Yep.
He scored 2 or 3 touchdowns
hungover.
With a hangover.
Yes,
that's how you play football. And by the way, thank you for your predictions, because remember the Red Sox. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, wasn't the last time the Chiefs were actually in the Super Bowl, Len Dawson was ripping butts at
yes.
halftime?
And was that the – no, because I think they made the next Super Bowl too. Didn't they lose to the – who'd they lose to then?
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they made it the next year. I'll double check it, but I don't think they did.
So
no,
Super Bowl II? That's the last time they were in the Super Bowl?
No, Super Bowl IV is the one they won.
Okay, but that wasn't the Max McGee game.
No, Max McGee to Super Bowl I.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, Cassidy. So real quick, here's your Bruins 30 seconds. Let me give you one thing first. And this is a story for another day, but I said this last night on TV, and I feel like saying it again. Is Tuukka Rask the best goalie in the history of the Bruins organization?
No.
Can you make the case that he's had the longest best career of any goalie in the history of the Bruins franchise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so talent-wise, I'm with you. But can you make the case that he has had the best career of any Bruins goalie ever? Because I'm sorry, Tiny Thompson or whatnot, I don't do that on your own time. Okay, in the modern era.
Are we counting Jerry Cheevers?
Yes. So starting with the expansion in whatever year that was. 68?
No, he's not the best Bruin of all time.
Who is?
Cheevers.
He is?
Yeah, didn't they win both cups with Cheevers?
So,
or maybe one was with Eddie Johnson.
Quick question. I was going to say, I think Cheevers was a goalie for only one of those two. And I'm sorry, that early 70s Bruins team, massive underachievers. Massive. A story that's not said enough and not mentioned enough when you're talking about Bruins history. That team should have won 5. That team was freaking loaded.
Okay, again, how many cups has Tuukka won?
Obviously, I know that answer. I'm just telling you, Cheevers is where I would... Cheevers, Moog... Thomas, I don't know who's on this list, starting in 70 or 68, whenever they expanded to 12 teams. That's when I would start it. You can make the case he's had the best career of any Bruins in history, which is freaking scary. It shows you how bad their goaltending has sucked, is what it says. Anyway, if you watched the game last night, they won on this great breakaway by Wagner. What's his first name?
Chris
Wagner, fourth liner, part of this really good fourth line that they've got going on with Corrali and Achari and Wagner. And it's the third period, and a little stick check on Petrangelo there at the blue line. Goes in, backhand, forehand, deep, goal.
Good goal.
Go ahead, goal. Good goal. Score. Goal scores goal. Great goal.
I mean, he had the goalie sprawling the opposite direction.
Then they get into...
this was awesome.
Then they get... They're up 2, and they get into an empty net situation, and he gets... A partial break. It's not a clean breakaway on an empty net, but it's a partial breakaway. It's on his backhand, and the net's wide open. And he gets to, I want to say, right around the faceoff circle, somewhere in that range.
On the left wing side.
On the left wing side, on his backhand side. And he's got the whole net to shoot at. He shoots at the net. It hits the post and sort of sticks there. Okay, so it sort of hits the post, the outside of the post, and sort of collects right there at the post. He then goes... to collect the puck and put it in the net, and somehow he trips over his stick or his skates and goes sprawling behind the net and can't put the puck in the empty net.
I mean, it was like Keystone Cops. It was unbelievable. He fell on his face and slammed the puck into the side of the net again. He looked like me.
No. It was. Well, this is what we're doing, just retelling it. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. Did you hear Cassidy in the post game? Go.
There's certain things you just got to allow the players to do and offer advice, and maybe it's more to the Corrales and Wagners of the world you offer advice. We got to talk to Wags about his empty net skills. I know that.
Oh, my God.
The best part of that is at the end. Like, oh, my God. Like, did you guys see that?
Like, the only thing that's missing is what an a-hole at the end of that, because that's what it sounded like he was just about to say.
Let's hear that again.
Oh, my God.
I did. I loved it. I heard it. I started peeing my pants laughing. I was like, oh, my God. He looked at it the same way we did. Like, wow. He had an open net twice and couldn't score. What a jackass.
Further proof that Cassidy is the most genuinely transparent coach in this market, without question.
He's the best.
One more time. Do it one more time.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
Because it was like, it's kind of embarrassing. You know, I mean, it was embarrassing. And he's been good. And, like, it's not, he's not in danger of losing a job. Or like, he's been really good. That line's been good. He scored the game winner. And so, but, I, you know, I think it speaks to just a, it speaks to Cassidy's comfort level with his team that he can just be honest and laugh at a guy. Like, you know, you play the whole cut again, Jimmy, because he starts laughing even before, like, when you just think about it, he starts to laugh.
There's certain things you just got to allow the players to do and offer advice, and maybe it's more to the Corrales and Wagners of the world you offer advice. We got to talk to Wags about his empty net skills, I know that.
Oh, my God.
that good.
Was great.
So subtle, but so good. Cassidy.
I mean, that was inept. That was utterly inept at empty net attempt. It was unbelievable.
But Tuukka lets up a soft goal. It's a soft goal. You know, Halak has another off night last night, or the other night in Philly. He says, yeah, it came down to goaltending. You know, it's called you can call it being opportunistic, or they got better goaltending. It's one of the two. You know, he'll just say it, a soft goal. Yeah, we got to work on Wags' empty net. My God, did you see that? That's terrific. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Your eighth straight AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead. What can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know... You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see.
Joey in Londonderry says that's Brady calling me out. Boy, that's giving us a lot of credit, Joey. I mean, really? Wow. I mean, I'll take it. I think that'd be great.
Well, if that's the case, shouldn't you be actually thanking Mike Felger and others for motivating Tom Brady and the Patriots for playing the way that they did last week against an extremely good Chargers team?
I'm telling you, I mean, that's just giving us a lot of yank that I don't know if we deserve. But either way,
I'll take it.
You bet. So Brady has toned down the, you know, I guess we suck thing this week. He's had to do two media availabilities, hasn't really struck that tone. Julian Edelman with the bet against us, dude. Bet against us, pal.
Selling T-shirts.
T-shirt thing. Did he back that up at the podium today?
Oh, no. He was by the book. I'm just thinking about Kansas City. Feels to me like someone with a beard got called into the coach's office. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, he was asked about it directly, the bet against us thing, and he said, I'm not taking questions about that. So
yeah, because Bill told me not to.
There you go. Well, but it is, it's sort of, it's not a guarantee of victory, but it is, it's sort of down that road, right? It's
yes.
Like, bet against us because we're going to win. You know, I mean, that's the whole tone of the thing. He's not saying that, but that's, you know, that's the logical implication there of what they're saying, right?
Yes, it's exactly what it is. It's, yeah, we'll show you kind of thing, and it's cocky. Right? You want to bet against us? Bet against us. Go ahead. And, you know, Belichick obviously doesn't want to open the door for anybody to put anything on a bulletin board somewhere.
Okay. Your calls. Gasper standing by. Top of the 4 o'clock hour. Nick in Plymouth. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk real quickly about two stats and just your reaction to them. So, one, Kansas City is by far one of the worst teams against running backs. They're in that bottom five of touchdowns, receptions, second touchdowns, and even yards. Want to know what you think about that. And then second, they are 2-4 against any team that's made it to the playoffs.
Okay, I'm going to hold that second thing there for a second. The thing about running backs, so fine, that was a big flaw with the Chargers too. if you're a game planner, don't you have to game plan that? In other words, I think largely that being bad against running backs is scheme related. You play a lot of zone, or you just give teams a safety valve. If you want to take out a running back in the passing game, that's really not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just sort of commit to it, and you should be able to do it with coverage linebackers or speedy linebackers or big safeties or just, you know, whatever, focus. So if you're Kansas City and you've let other running backs do their thing, don't you have to adjust this week? And it blows me away that the Chargers did not. Maybe the Chiefs won't either. I mean, I can't speak for them.
Yeah, look, and again, there were, and I didn't count the snaps, but I remember at one point in the Patriots game last week saying, ooh, they got two guys in the backfield, you know, the pony formation, if that's what you want to call it. And I would do it again. Because whether it's, and if I said to you last week, throw to Michelle if you've got to throw to Michelle. I think he can catch it. Throw to Burkhead. Throw to White. I would throw to them all day long.
Boy, I do love the strength of schedule calls, though. Because when I did it last year with the Patriots' week schedule, it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But now that Kansas City had a 2-4 record against playoff teams or whatever the caller just said, like, now all of a sudden it matters. I get it. Okay. All right. Got it. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's the Patriots, but it matters if it's the opponent. Got it. Check. Check mark. Understood. I think on strength of schedule, and I said this last year, that to me it's not necessarily what your record is against those teams. It's just having played those games. Having played those games, and providing you don't get your doors blown off every time you do, but just having played those games, you don't need to have won that close, tight game against a good team to get value from it. Right, the one I always point to is 2014 when you went into Green Bay and lost a really close, good football game. That helped make you battle-tested. The next week you went to San Diego and won another close game. And it was that sort of stretch, even though you went 1-1, sort of that hardened you for the playoffs. That's value. You don't need to win those games.
2016, Seattle here that they ended up losing. And Gronk got hurt, too. That's another one.
Was that 2016?
Yeah.
So I just think being in those games is valuable. The Chiefs lost four of them. It's true. They were all by one possession or less. So they competed in all those games. I don't know. I don't think it's a factor. But then again, I didn't think things were factors last week, and I was wrong. So, I mean, what can I tell you? I just, it's good to note that strength of schedule, when we're talking about the Patriots, does not matter. But for the opponent, it absolutely matters. And you'll talk my face off my skull about it. Understood.
And again, three of those were on the road. The only one they lost at home was to the Chargers, 29-28. Right, on the last play of the game.
Two-pointer at the buzzer.
On the last play of the game. So in the other ones, you know, you're talking about a three-point loss at the Rams, 7 points at the Seahawks. Like, they were against the best teams in the league that they lost on the road.
Brian and Westwood, real quick.
Hey, Mike, what's up with your shirt, man? If you take that vest off, it looks like you're swimming in it. Does the wood not dress you anymore?
No, it's a little big. Yeah, my shirt's a little big. That's it. I thought you were going to ask about my sweater vest. It's the old FC. You catch me and Wiggy on it. The social media platform. They don't want me to say it on the radio. I'm not saying it on the radio. You can see it on TV. Me and Wiggy live during the fourth quarter. Live during the fourth quarter on your social media app. Just Google it. You can figure it out. It's a good little thing. So we do it as the game's going on. You can join us on your smartphone. We get to see your face. It's like a call-in show, but you get to put your camera phone on yourself and we see you. Some of which is very scary, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, I get to see Wiggy.
But it's a neat little thing, so catch that. And the shirt's a little big, I would agree. Here's a Gasper, 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back with him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.